Hey everybody, Shane Pressler here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right there in the heart of the Grove, between the demo and the ready room. Come on down this Friday, they have an all-new music happy hour going on, new records in from the Lumineers, Deftones, and a bunch of other stuff, 10% off any purchase, free four hands beer for those of age, and they get new vinyl in every Friday, so, and they have plenty of used, and used vinyl, used tapes and CDs as well. The next live in-store performance on Saturday will be April 9th with the By Gods from Nashville, so come down and check that out. And then April 16th is Record Store Day. Doors open at 7 a.m. First, I think it's 25 people through the door get a exclusive bag full of goodies. And then all kinds of cool exclusives for Record Store Day. So come out, check that out. Find more information about all this stuff on their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Susie.
This is Robin.
We are from Riding with St. Louis Podcast. You are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Pressler here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 196, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Riding with St. Louis. This is you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Robin Wheeler.
Oh, that's all you're going to do?
Oh, do I need to do more? Are we gonna...
No, that's fine.
No, but we'll get to you in 20 minutes, Susie. let's just say our names for now, and then we'll...
That was perfect amount of time for me to take a drink of coffee. Thank you.
I know.
We're a good team. I love this.
I know.
I'm Susie Q, or Susie Gilb, whatever, for those that don't know how to pronounce my fucking name. It's Gilb.
Just like it's spelled.
Right?
It's not Jill.
Right. I mean, granted, I get that I have a lot of practice, but some people don't. So, for the record,
yeah,
it's Guild. But I'll probably respond to most of the things. I mean, if they're prefaced by Susie, how many of them could there be in her name?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we do Riding with St. Louis Podcast. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it about a year. Coming up.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Our podcast anniversary.
April 1st, I believe.
Ain't no joke.
We've recorded the first three episodes. First five episodes, minus if you count the two that we didn't actually record.
Right. They're episodes like minus one and minus two.
Our ghost episodes.
The lost episodes.
The lost episodes. I'm still kind of glad the first one was just us.
We had a fabled history before we started. I think that's always a good sign.
Yeah.
I think.
The other day, I went back and listened to, what is episode one now, your introduction episode, and I'm listening to this, and I'm like, how have I not ran into you two before? Like,
no.
I'm like,
I wondered the same thing.
We have so much in common, you know, and I'm like listening, and it's just, like I said, it was just... blew my mind. I'm like, I should, you know, I'm sure I've ran into you somewhere in the past or
I'm
something.
Sure at some point.
But I brought it up the other night. It's so I had these guys on the show a while back, Divide the Empire. Mm-hmm. And they did a show out in Wentzville, which I went to because there's never a lot of shows in Wentzville. But there was like four bands on the bill. And I was like, all right, there was this band. I was like, I can't remember this fourth band. So a little bit of time goes by. I'm hanging out with this band, Silent Hollow. Mm-hmm. And they're like,
oh yeah, we were the fourth band on that bill, you know, that you couldn't think of. And I was like, oh, sorry guys. And I was like, it wasn't, it was no offense. Yeah. Like, and I actually, through like Facebook memory stuff or whatever, time hop, and I actually noticed it was on a Friday and I worked till 11, so I didn't even get there till after 11. So I mean, that's why I missed their set. So so that all made more sense later on. But it was just funny, like, you know, these guys I'm hanging out with, you know, 3 years, 4 years later, whatever it was. And it's just kind of crazy that, you know, we were all in the same room at one time and we didn't know each other. And now, a couple years later, we're hanging out doing the podcast together.
Oh, yeah. That was so, huge. Yeah.
St. Louis is hell.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean,
it happens to me all the time.
Well, and, you know, we have these moments of, oh, yeah, we know these people. We see the same people all the time. And then every now and then, we talked about this with Emily Wallace, that, you know, the first time I saw her almost 2 years ago, I was like, oh, my God, how have I not seen this person? Yeah. She's incredible. And we talked about it with Irene Allen, too, that everybody who sees Irene the first time thinks they've discovered her. It's like, no, she's been around forever.
She's been around a long time.
But I think we tend to think of St. Louis as being a small town because we all think we know each other. Yeah. But every now and then we get reminded that, no, this is a big place.
Yeah,
and, oh, hey, yeah, how have we not crossed paths? Well, we probably have, but...
Well, I mean, again, I said it the other night as well, but the fact, you know, I felt like I had a fair grasp of kind of what St. Louis means. I mean,
yeah.
I know I did not claim to know all of it, but I was like, that's what started the show was like, I was like, oh, well, I know quite a bit of bands and music and you know, comedians and things, and they'll give me a good jump start and then get going on this show. And I've networked out farther and farther and realized, man, I didn't know nothing. Like, okay. I was like,
that's,
you know,
that's kind of how we've
been. Yeah, it's like the deeper that you dig, like, the deeper you realize it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
holy shit.
So I've discovered, like, that whole, sort of garage rock thing going on through Cherokee and stuff, like the, like, Talk and Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals and a lot of the, like, and it's just like, that, I, you know, I just, within the last year, you know, I met Brother Lee like in June or something.
Oh, wow.
And they're, they're one of my favorites. And
they're all
awesome, dude. Yeah, I finally just saw them a couple weeks ago or something.
Yeah, they've
like
been playing out quite a bit.
And I'd seen their name tons around and just somehow had never caught them live. And I finally saw them.
Yeah, they're one of those bands I always miss, but I've heard them a bunch. Like, well, they did Lo-Fi Cherokee.
Right, okay.
And so their video from that.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I finally just saw them live and I was like, holy shit, how did I see
you? Well, and you see, and that's more my wheelhouse, is I've always followed the loud bands.
Right.
And so you're saying you just found it. Well, that's where I was. That's why we weren't running into each other, because I was there and at all the Americana outlaw country stuff.
Yeah. I hang out a lot of my friends are in the modern rock, like, scene at Pops and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I also...
I haven't been to Pops since I was probably, like, 19, maybe.
I also hang out at Beale and Oyster Bar a lot. I'm into a lot of a lot more blues-based stuff.
We've got some overlap there.
Yeah.
But, again, I love it all. I mean, it's not... for me, it's not really genre. It's more artist. I mean, I tend to gravitate to somebody doing something original with it, and you know, and there's a lot of individual artists that I like that you know, compared to listening to all rock music or all whatever.
Oh,
so,
I've given up on genre because good is good.
Sure.
Right.
Shit is shit.
And there's so many, like, you know, I hate to, like, box things in too, you know, everything kind of, you kind of use those labels to help people identify with it some way, but it's like, you know, so many of these bands cross over in so many different genres too, anyway, you know, so it's like, it's hard to say they're a rock band when they could be, you know, this or that or whatever, so.
Well, and what is rock at this point anyway? Yeah, right, it's so fragmented.
Sure. But, wanted to sit down, get to know you too, and,
we're sorry. Let us apologize in advance.
But I just, you know, recently discovered your show, through the, powers of social media and stuff, and I noticed we had a ton of overlapping guests, which, it was awesome to see that, and, But yeah, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I was like, I wanted to get to know you a little better, so here I am.
Yay, thanks for coming.
Yeah. This is very exciting.
Yeah, you're at the Pied de Terre.
Yeah.
I'm in Belleville part-time and here part-time, so.
Okay.
This is, Podcast Central for the most part. All right. We record most of the episodes
RWHQ.
Here.
RWHQ.
Yeah.
So I guess, I wanted to kind of get to know you both individually. What's some of the stuff that kind of led up to getting you into being a podcast?
Oh man. Well, I started out, oh shit. How far back do you want to go? I'm not a musician. I'm a writer first and foremost. And I was writing music articles when I was 11 years old. You know, I was reading, I would get issues of Rolling Stone and Spin and all of the other music magazines and what I would hear on MTV. And I would research musicians and write my own articles about them and always wanted to be a music journalist. And I got lucky enough that I've been able to do that in my career. I started writing about music. God, 2009, I guess, for the Riverfront Times.
So was that your first published?
That was my first music writing published stuff. I had a lot of published stuff before then because writing about music will make you broke and poor. So my actual paying work is I am a chef and I own a little company and I teach cooking classes and I wrote about food for years. I wrote for Sauce. When I started with the RFT, it was with their food blog. And in the time that I was there, I made friends with Annie Zaleski, and who kept telling me, it's like, because we would talk music. And she's like, why are you not writing for me? Why are you writing for the food? It's because I know the food part. I've gone to school to learn this. I've worked in the field. I'm not qualified to write about music. She's like, yes, you are. You're going to go review this show.
Yeah.
And she sent me out to review the Bottle Rockets, which, easy job because I know the band.
Right.
But yeah, from there, it's like, oh my God, I'm getting paid to write about music.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's like one of those, I was wondering if it, like, for you, if you feel that way at all, like, is it everything you wanted it to be, or is it kind of, or is it kind of like, because some like that, I always wanted to get into cooking myself. Mm-hmm. I thought about culinary school and things, and it's like something I really enjoy. Yeah. But it's like, I know if I do it as a career, I'm going to drive myself crazy. Mm-hmm. And
easy to do.
But I enjoy doing it like as a hobby and stuff. Yeah. So and it's like so. It's one of those things, like, if you're doing it, if it's something you love and you're getting paid to do it sometimes, it's that you end up getting burned out.
Well, and I have a really short attention span, and I don't like doing the same. This is the reason why I don't work in a restaurant. This is the reason why I don't work in traditional publishing. Wow. Yeah, I don't do well showing up at the same place at the same time every day.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that I've pieced together this really absurd life where I get to do three things that I absolutely love in a way between music and cooking, and I have a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not a typical normal mom either, but like I said, I've just kind of pieced together what works for me and what works for my personality and in a way where I enjoy it. And that's, I take off, January and February are usually my big writing months because I tend to cook with the seasons, with the growing season. So after the holidays, well, I need to get out of the kitchen now. I'm sick of this.
Right.
So I'm going to sit down and I'm going to edit something or I'm going to write something or keep going from there. But as far as podcasting,
that was my fault.
Sort of. The seed had been planted. You were just the one who fertilized it.
I fertilized almost nothing in my life, including plants, which I am terrible at growing.
I know, I kill everything.
I'm glad I got something.
Yeah. Well, when my daughter was a baby, I was still writing for Sauce, and I had a catering company, and this was back in 2004. And my cousin in Minnesota, made me start blogging. She's like, "You're bored out of your mind at home with this kid. You're going to go crazy. And I want to know every single thing this child does." All right. So I started blogging, and I figured I'll have like two friends and my cousin reading it. And within a couple of weeks, I had hundreds of people that eventually turned into thousands. And, wow. You know, it was a matter of, there was one local mommy blogger who I'm still friends with who happened across it in the first couple of weeks, and she posted on her blog, which had thousands of readers, said, "You need to go read this." And all of a sudden, I had the kind of writing career that I'd always wanted, where mm-hmm. I was writing what I wanted to write in my voice and doing it my way. And lo and behold, I had people reading it mm-hmm. and responding to it. And, oh, hey, there's some income coming in from this.
Right.
And so, you know, because I was an early adopter with all things internet. And so, you know, that I wrote a book, and it was a blog before it was a book. And, mm-hmm. you know, everything starts with the interactive portion. And a couple of years ago, pre-Susie, I was hanging out at the Mud House. And Jeremy Joyce, who we just had on a couple of weeks ago before he moved to New Orleans, he would come in at the Mud House, and we would sit there and we would talk music for hours. And he kind of put the bug in my ears, like, you should get KDHX to give you a music talk show or do a podcast. And I was like, yeah, maybe. And it was always kind of in the back of my head, figure out how to do that.
All right.
Figure that out. I've got some audio production skills tucked back there somewhere. I had other things to do. And then one day, a little over a year ago, once again, at the Mud House, came in to work on something and walked in. Susie's over here hanging out with one of her friends. And, hey, how you doing? And I go over to my table and I'm at my computer. And a few minutes later, she's on the chair across from me. We need to talk. I got an idea. I got to talk to you about something. All right. And like, we didn't know each other very well. We had been writing together at 11. But it's not like that's a... We'd see each other on
an interactive coworker type of situation.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, hey, how you doing? Hi, you're perched on the chair across from me going, we need to talk. What do you think about podcasting?
Well, I mean, we've been at a couple different, because 11 for a while, we would have like little get-togethers every month. And then those sort of tapered off when they would go out on tour and stuff. But, so I think we met there, and then we start running into each other.
We saw each other at the Mud House a bazillion times.
Right.
So
it wasn't just like, oh, we kind of met a couple times. I mean, we...
we were Facebook friends. This was right after your birthday show last year, which I was on my way to it, and I missed it. Because the person I was on my way to it...
My 30th birthday show.
This was so much fun. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, we knew each other well enough that I was on my way to that and got distracted.
Damn, that was fucking crazy. Sarah Jones opened me a bottle of fucking champagne on stage at Off-Broadway. I know, I love her so much.
Sarah's great.
I know, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of her.
But yeah, like a week later, we got back together at the Mud House, and while she was there, perched, like, podcasting. Music, local music podcast. What do you think? It's like, actually, it's kind of been going around back here.
Right.
Yeah, I think I said that, actually. And, so we got together like a week later, and she had the title picked out and the theme song, Sleepy Kitty theme song, and kind of had the idea for, hey, you know, we both interview musicians at 11, and, you know, and I've been interviewing musicians for years before, and some of the impetus of it was, man, if you could hear these, there's only so much you can convey writing it.
Right.
And when you're listening to these conversations, when you're transcribing, and there's so many moments where you think, oh man, I wish they could hear this.
Yeah.
Just right. The tone of voice.
Just put the interview audio up.
And yeah.
Exactly.
Not transcribe all this shit. It's just so fucking long. But, and you lose so much of the essence of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a totally different thing. I mean, as a writer, yeah, I still appreciate and enjoy that.
Sure,
but
yeah. It's way more challenging, for sure.
It's way more challenging, but it's apples and oranges, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we hit the ground running. I mean, we sat there that day. We both had a list of people we wanted to talk to, events that were coming up. We started setting dates for... And mind you, I knew nothing about the internet side of it. It's like, oh, I'm going to go home and figure this out.
Right.
And, you know, went home and bought the URL that night. And that's how I knew when the anniversary of the meeting was. I had the email recently.
GoDaddy alerted you.
No, not GoDaddy. I don't work with those fuckers. Back highway. Yeah, I texted her. I was like, hey, guess what I got? Domain renewal. It's our anniversary.
That's really funny.
That's our official anniversary. So, yeah, that was in February of last year. And said we had the two ghost episodes. And then got a couple recorded and ready to go and launched at the beginning of April. And Susie knows the audio production side of it. So
well enough, yeah.
And I figured out the digital portion of it well enough. And
I am inept. Very inept at that.
So what about you, Susie? What led you into...
Oh, shit. Wow, where do I start? So I play music.
Yeah.
It's an easy enough place to start. So I was thinking maybe I was overthinking it. That's pretty easy. I play music. I play Susie Q. Been doing that for about 10 years now, around St. Louis, and I've been playing way longer than that, but I've been playing, like, out in bars and shit, for about 10 years, and, you know, so I've been around, I've met tons of really awesome musicians, and, I've always been a big advocate and fan of local music, really, you know, and even, I was that kid, like, do you guys remember the Point Essential volumes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was so obsessed with those for a minute, dude.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of my friends, this was in, like, middle school, I got a couple of my friends really into them, and so, there were a couple of songs we all, like, got really, stoked about, and so, fun side story, we went to Six Flags one day, and the band we were obsessed with happened to be playing at Six Flags, and of course, we were like, we're probably like CJ's age.
Oh my god.
We're like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
The band is called Slapdash.
Oh my god.
You know. If I'm not mistaken, they were on Point Essential Volume 5.
That would be before I moved here.
So, I'm old school, thanks. No, I guess that I was like 12. And then, oh, they also played at Sam Goody and Crestwood Mall one time, and we went to see them there. I know. They're, like, the only shows we could go to, because we were, like, 12. So, anyway, so I'm a big fucking, local, old school local music nerd, as it were.
Yeah.
Long story short. And so, when I started playing music, it's an easy way to, like, geek out and not seem creepy.
Yeah.
Because your peers then. You're not just some creepy asshole. It's like, hey, really like
not
the music.
Creepy asshole.
I mean, I'm still
don't think back at the creepy asshole.
I'm still, I mean, they're not mutually exclusive. Like, you can be a creepy asshole and be somebody's peer. But I feel like, between being somebody's peer and also being a fairly innocuous seeming white girl and being very tiny and diminutive in stature, I don't come off nearly as creepy as I would without those.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So, it works in my favor. I got that going for me. I used to run a trivia company for about 2.5 years. I worked for them for almost 5, but I ran the company for about 2.5 years, and it was Tenacious Trivia. They're still around. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Good folks. But one of the things that I was sort of adamant about while I was doing that was I had a couple regular games. And one of them was... a hookah bar down on South Grand called Petra. And so what I decided to do was it was the one show or the one game every week where I play all local music. Because basically you ask a question, you play a song. So there's like, you know, 22 or whatever questions, plus you play music before and after. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of fucking music.
Yeah.
And if you're subjecting people to local music, like, you know, I would have people come up and kind of be like, oh, what was that? That was really good. I liked that. And so that kind of is what sparked it, because I would slip them into normal games. Like, yeah. I just slip, you know, a song here, like a Rum Drum song or, you know, whatever. Maybe some Sleepy Kitty here and there, whatever. You know, something upbeat, middle-class fashion. Yeah. It was a perfect, you know, good bar, catchy, about 3 minutes, perfect for trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so people would come up and be like, what is this? I really like it. And then I was like, I need to just do a whole, like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the game itself, you know, the game's just a regular trivia game, it's just the background. Music between happens to be all local. And so I did that for a long while, and it like, people were, like, legitimately really receptive to it and stuff, and got really into, some artists, and I feel like I sort of, did a cool thing there. So I've always, you know, sort of tried to, like, advocate for local artists in whatever stupid creative, I guess it's creative, I just think they're goofy ideas that I have. Right. Like, oh, does this work? I guess they do sometimes. But, and then I did, briefly had a local music, internet radio show, after the trivia shtick. So that was, I did that for a few months, and that was short lived. It was fun, but yeah, whatever. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to talk shit on people. that was a thing that happened. And so, but people would come up to me, especially when I did trivia, and they're always like, you need a radio show. You should have a radio show. And I was always like, you realize you can't say fuck on the radio.
Right.
Like, you've met me, right? Like, I say fuck a lot. So.
I had to make the same point to Jeremy when he came, you know, he made that, you should go to KDHX now.
No, people say the same thing to me, and I'm like, yeah, I would get them fined out of existence.
Right. Yeah, they would not have me.
No, that would be very short-lived. Although, somehow Fred Friction managed for a long time, but whatever, I don't...
Late at night. No, he wasn't. He's
no.
Like, just take time.
I don't know, man. Good for him. He has more self-restraint than I do, which is kind of alarming. In a weird way.
I have theories on that, but continue.
Sure. but yeah, so people were always kind of pushing me to, and I'm just used to being on microphones, you know, that person.
Right.
Between doing music and doing theater in high school and whatever the fuck else, like, I'm just used to being in front of people and talking about stuff, and especially when it's something you like, it makes it really easy, and we try to... You know, I did try to take notes from podcasts that I like Nerdist and WTF, that are just super conversational, you know, and so that's kind of the vibe we try to go with, but just keep it local, essentially, and focus on, you know, mostly music, but also the arts, you know, like we've done, obviously Bill Streeter does stuff that's music related, but he himself is not a musician.
Joe Clown
is another one, absolutely. M.M.
Impero.
I think it's her birthday today, by the way. Yay, happy birthday, Impero! So, yeah, I don't know. But we try to keep it, you know, in the arts.
At least connected.
Sure.
Yeah. At least connected to arts and to...
and or St. Louis. Both. Usually it's both. Yeah. Sometimes we stretch it a little.
Yeah, I've done some, like, I did one with Kenny Barr. He's a concert photographer.
Oh, okay.
He also shot a bunch of pictures during the Ferguson riots. And things. And
nice.
So he had some interesting stories about Ferguson, course we got to talking. I think he's like become one of the Urge's like exclusive photographers. So like he works all their shows, and
that's awesome.
So he, you know, he's buddies with them and has tons of stories about hanging with them and stuff. So it's all still music related, but also very different. Yeah. So again, I'm the same way with a lot of my guests.
Well, there's so much overlap.
Sure. And for me, I feel like it's so there's the musicians, the songwriters, the bands, the the performers.
Yeah.
But you also have the sound guys, the venues, there's so many people behind the scenes, that are making it all possible.
And that's something that we talked about originally, and we haven't gotten around to it, there's venue owners that we both know that we'd love to have on.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to pick their brands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we had Jess Luther from I Went to a Show. That one was awesome.
She's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Jess does awesome things.
Yeah.
There's so much overlap, and so many people who are doing really... excellent things that, you know, like I said, I'm not a musician, but I do a lot of things that, you know, I'm trying to support.
For sure, yeah.
You know, what's happening here, because as a creative person, you know, it's all interconnected. The writers and the musicians and the photographers and the artists, and, you know, we feed off of each other. In a good way and sometimes a bad way, but, you know.
Like piranhas or beta fish who eat each other.
We're a bunch just of kidding. River piranhas.
River, fucking river piranhas.
River de pair piranhas, yeah.
River de piranhas?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, there's your new side project.
I have side projects, Robin. I can't keep doing that word side.
I can do a girl punk band with you.
I
can Kathleen Hanna style some shit.
I can't get into this with you right now.
It's on air. We have to.
I too have some theories, my friend.
Theory one: don't let Robin on stage.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't hand you a guitar.
Don't hand me a guitar.
I'm definitely not doing that.
Don't hand me a guitar. I would embarrass myself. So. Oh,
yeah. I love you too much.
I love you too. I love you because you won't do that to me. Thank you.
No, absolutely not. But yeah, no, basically what Robin said is pretty accurate. I was sitting at Mudhouse one day, and this idea had sort of been rattling around in my brain, and I was sitting there with my friend Rebecca, and I was like, yeah, I want to do this thing, but I've been trying to come up with, like, who would I have as a co-host, because I need someone to, like, keep me honest and make me light a fire under my ass and make me do it. But that means I need to pick somebody, like, at least as responsible as I am, if not more so, preferably. And I was like, well, no offense to my dear, dear friends, who I love very much. But most of y'all do not qualify. So that... It was a short list.
And then she glances over.
And I'm sitting there and I went, wait a fucking second.
And then she's
what are the fucking eyes?
Chair.
I was like, time out, I gotta do a thing, Rebecca. And I like bounce out of my chair and whoop, like a little tiny monkey.
I was gonna go for buzzard, but I was surprised.
I mean, I didn't like eat your leftover food or like, your heart
you,
dancer or
you
anything.
You didn't, but I was surprised.
You didn't fling food
either. My earbuds in, I'm working away.
You're like, Jesus Christ, you're right there.
There's a tiny person perched on my chair.
Where'd you
looking
come
at
from? Bitch, where'd you come from? Right there.
She's hungry for something.
I don't have any leftovers, Susie. God damn it.
All I got was coffee. Go away. You got coffee.
Right? So
yeah, she's talking to Rebecca and goes, whoop. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't feel as, like, ominous and swoopy when it was happening. But now that I think about it from your end, I was like, that probably was, like...
It was delightfully weird.
That yeah. You're like, bitch, are you a vampire? Where the fuck did you come from? Like, you know,
but now that you know me, you know I enjoy that shit so much.
Well, I know that now. Yeah. Who certainly wasn't aware.
Susie,
wasn't
you landed on my chair like a buzzard with an idea.
So, but yeah, that's basically how that happened.
Yeah. It was good timing.
It was fun.
Oh, I was gonna say, with the river piranhas thing.
Yes,
there's a podcast I listened to about last night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. They're comedians, and they have a third comedian on, and they just tell stories and stuff. So,
yeah.
But they have like a running joke anytime something like river piranhas or whatever it might be comes up like that, they'll say, oh yeah, I think they're playing Coachella this year or something like that. You know, so and it's
exactly.
Yeah, it's just it's
that's
a fun,
awesome.
It's a fun piranhas. Joke that they
we'll have to incorporate that in with our many
yeah.
Put that on the list of running bullshit unnecessary.
It's gonna wind up on this wall at some point
along with
this is where I envision the Pelly
the STL word
chart. Yeah.
I'm on a fucking roll today, man.
I got how is it taking
caught me on a good day.
Yeah,
man. I can't believe it took us that long to come up with the STL word.
I Look, I smoked just enough weed before I came over here. I had a few sips of fucking Seagram's. Thank you, Celia. And I'm drinking, as usual, obscene amounts of coffee today.
What'd you say it was, two years old?
It's two and a half year old flask aged.
It's aluminum tinted Seagram's.
It's a unicorn flask. It's Seagram's that was gifted to me when I shortly after I bought the flask in Memphis and I got back to St. Louis, and Celia, the delightful Celia,
who played a children's show and then set you up with some whiskey.
I fucking love her so much. She was like, it's empty, we gotta fix that. Put some Seagram's in like a good friend does.
Oh, yeah.
And I never finished it because I forgot I owned it for a while. I mean, I've sipped on it after she did that, and then I forgot about it. Because I honestly, I don't drink. I'm not that big of an alcoholic, like, that I need to carry a flask around. Holy shit, you guys. It was a special occasion.
Well, and 2 ounces, and you're done.
Yeah, I mean, I get, like, 5 sips in, and I'm like, woo! Like a fucking soccer mom. God damn.
That's okay.
So, I mean, worse things have happened, but...
Yeah. It's entertaining.
Up to a point, sure. Unless you make me karaoke, then it's...
Oh, God.
If I get drunk enough... It turns out, I learned a valuable life lesson recently. If I am drunk enough to get on a stage and do karaoke, you need to get me home. Immediately. Immediately. Do not let me drive.
What is your go-to when you get to that
moment? I don't karaoke. I karaoke for the first time in my life like a couple weeks ago, and I remember none of it.
That was
Brian McClellan's birthday.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if that was the same weekend that Woe Thunder, the Woe Thunder Jesse Bessie show, because...
I don't remember.
You had a weekend.
It was. I think that was the Friday before, and the karaoke was Tuesday. So yeah,
I got wasted
on Friday on accident.
No, Saturday. That was on Saturday.
Are you sure about that? Never mind. My bad.
Yeah.
I'm the one who was okay.
I stand motherfucking corrected. Oh, you're right, because I didn't have to work the next day.
Yeah,
thank God.
Because the next day I got a text from you.
I was like, I'm dying.
No, it was...
No, actually, I think I was fine after that one. It was the Wednesday after karaoke,
because
I was also off the next day. Yeah, that one I was like, I'm dying.
The Sunday one was... Oof. So, person whose name I won't mention... I was screaming last night.
Oh,
yeah. I'm like, well, you were loud, but...
I mean, I'm always loud.
You were whiskey loud.
I was, I was loud for me.
You weren't that bad compared to the slow motion kung fu fighting that was going on.
I mean, fair enough.
And you were funny that.
No, I didn't even know that happened.
Which is sad, because you were standing right there and you would have enjoyed it.
Probably, but...
No, there were
things
that you
really
would
enjoy. Slow-mo kung fu.
Yeah.
I have no idea any of this was happening. Or maybe I did see it and I have no recollection of it, because I don't remember screaming either, so...
That sounds like another great band name, Slow-mo Kung Fu.
Slow-mo Kung Fu! That's going to be my set project
The people
album.
Who were doing... the people who were doing the Slow-mo Kung Fu... They should form a duo, and that could be their name. It would be a drum and piano duo, and I'll leave it at that.
I can't abide. The dude...
Oh, there's Larry's in
the open. The dude does not abide.
I'm not even going to say what just popped in my head. I'm just going to enjoy that one by myself.
This aggression will not stand, man. So anyway, I don't remember... The yelling, and I don't remember the karaokeing. Long story short,
You had a couple of days.
I had a few days. It was a really long week. Hey, that was also the same span of a week where I had 2 family pets die.
Yeah.
So I feel no remorse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I feel a lot of remorse for my friends who had to listen to me yell. But they're my friends. It's not like this is new.
Didn't bother me.
They know me.
I thought it was entertaining.
this is why we're friends.
I know.
People who don't find it entertaining are like, fuck this bitch.
And I know there's going to be an occasion, probably sooner rather than later, where I will be the one who has the whiskey screams.
I'll have to be like, no, Robin, no.
I didn't do that to you.
No, like, but I will have to be like, don't say something awkward. You're being really loud right now, so don't be awkward. One or the other.
I didn't do that to you, and you were doing both of them. I just let you be.
You should have.
I just let you be.
Somebody needs to leash me sometimes. And I hate that I said that on the record, but I am not a liar, so.
I don't want to leash you, Susie.
Someone needs to cage the bird when the bird is wha-hasted.
Cage the buzzard.
If I'm drunk enough that it's two syllables, wha-hasted, somebody needs to put my bird ass in a cage.
Well, I entrusted your bird ass to somebody else that night.
Put a bird on it. As
they
long
dropped
as
the
cage.
They did not put a bird on it. They dropped the bird. I was like, well, I will babysit next time. Fine.
Thank you.
Okay.
Much obliged. Hey, I would do the same.
I know. And you will at some point.
At some point.
It's gonna
happen.
See, this being a food industry professional, you take a class in culinary school. It's called bar and beverage management, but it's really how to drink without dying.
Oh, I thought it was gonna be like how to drink on the job and not get fired.
Well, that too, but
it's mostly that.
That's
accepted, it's a lot of that. Some of us had to learn that shit on the fly, man. I didn't get to do that for college credit, man.
I took a class.
I had to take like French Civ.
I got an A.
I didn't do nearly as well in French Civ, honestly.
I have 4.0 all through culinary school, so you know. But yeah, the class was essentially, if you're a bartender or managing a bar, how to tell if you're over serving someone. Well, you just apply the rules to yourself, and you have yourself a nice little night that way.
Some people.
Sometimes the rules go out the window, though.
Some people.
About once every 6 months or so.
Yeah, right. I was having a shitty week. I'm fine with it.
Well, and at that point, you only had one dead pet.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it was just the cat.
No, the cat had died Wednesday,
yeah.
And then Dressy Bessie was Friday.
Dressy Bessie was Saturday.
Saturday, sorry, right.
Yeah.
And then the dog died right before, like literally I was getting tacos across the street from Art Bar.
Oh, okay.
And found out at dinner.
Yeah.
And then walked across the street to karaoke and got fucking trashed.
Okay.
And didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't want to know. I didn't want to talk about it because then you would cry.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just like, fuck it.
It was a birthday party too.
I know,
so.
Right? Like, why are we going to do that to my friend's birthday?
Yeah.
So I was just like, fuck it. Whiskey!
But yeah, on Saturday when I was there, it was just the cat, so.
Yeah, so literally, I found out about the dog right before karaoke and proceeded to get wasted about it.
Did you sing Patches?
What?
Did you sing Patches? It's a really sad country song about it.
Oh,
I can't remember if it's about a kid or a dog.
One, I don't know what it is, and two, I don't remember. I think there's video evidence of me singing Aladdin, but I can't be sure.
Oh my god,
because
no.
I refuse to watch the video evidence.
That's probably smart.
I know.
I don't care.
I was like, you know what? I don't need the self-esteem problem. I don't need to watch that.
I'm sad I didn't go that night.
I'm sad you didn't go too, because I needed to ask somebody what happened, and I didn't want to.
I think Shane has a question for us.
Please, all right. God, ask me a question.
Make us stop.
I'm enjoying the show. This is entertaining. Yeah.
Ooh,
God, I hope so.
Imagine this in a bar near you, just hanging out.
Fucking Christ.
So you mentioned earlier the April is the official 1 year of the show. So congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. That's,
home stretch, almost made
yeah.
it.
Yep.
I noticed, I think there's more, but just off the top, you'll have, Old Salt Union episode will be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's in a couple, like a week or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just on the show. You had Les Gruff.
Yeah, Tony and Billy.
Kevin from Ilphonics.
Yes, and also obviously off
here. And Ilphonics is getting ready.
They'll be on in full.
In a couple of weeks. We're recording that, I think, next week.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah.
My episode will be out Well, probably by the time this one airs, it'll be right there the same. So 28th, I think, is supposed to be the official release date of that one. So.
Nice.
Molly Sims have been on, right?
Yeah.
And
Molly on...
Manus Brothers.
Love them. Oh, yeah.
And Cree Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
And Cree and Cheryl and their baby.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam came out for that one,
I think he was the youngest person on the podcast.
Yeah,
because
close to Jenny Rokas's Penny Lou, but
Penny was older.
Yeah, she was about a year or so at that point.
Yeah.
And I think Sam was, a couple months or something?
He was about 6 months.
Was he that old?
Yeah.
I don't think he was even that. He was like three or four, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was,
he was new.
Yeah.
He was very new, and he hung out.
He chilled, man.
Yeah, all of those people, they've also been on my show, so that's another thing that really grabbed my attention right away is the how many people we have.
Oh yeah, I've been noticing that for a long time.
Yeah.
Especially when most of the ones that you've mentioned are ones that have had new albums come out
or
have had big events, because I think when we had Cree, it was
Cree Fest,
and also. When Let the River Run.
I think you're right.
So they released an album right before Cree Fest.
So
we're catching everybody on release.
For sure,
it's releases.
I like that we've started a local podcast circuit together now.
Yeah.
Now people have to make a big fucking deal about their album releases again.
Yeah.
You gotta run the circuit, man.
Yeah. Well, we scheduled the Illphonics interview. Illphonics comes up even in episodes that aren't ours. They come up every single episode.
Seriously, almost every episode.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I know. And
I've known those guys for so long.
I interviewed Kevin and Larry for 11, and Larry has plans for our episode. It's just going to be the two of you. Kevin and I are just going to sit back and watch.
Oops.
Larry has words for you.
Me?
It's going to be good.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He was excited about it.
I hope they're nice words. Because I love him. Don't ruin it.
Oh,
Larry.
He was excited.
Oh, good.
But Kevin and I just decided that, no, we're just going to sit back and everybody's just going to hang back, and it's just going to be the Susie and Larry show that day.
I'm so excited.
It's
going to
be fun.
Well, it's so funny because, I met him the first day of college. The first hour of college. So, I have a certain fondness for him.
Oh, yeah.
So he's the only other I can't remember who the fuck else was in that class.
Yeah.
He's the only person that I remember or know from it. So
the interview I did for 11, he was talking about same class.
Funny thing is about that class is the professor, he even then was in a bluegrass band that played Maplewood at the time. He still is. And he's a poli-sci professor. Awesome dude.
Yeah.
Dan Hellinger.
Oh, okay.
He's an absolute sweetheart, but he comes into music folk
once
in a while now. So now more than 10 years later after taking that class. Let's not talk about how many years later.
oh, come on.
No, it was fall of 2003.
Fuck you. You're 10 years younger than me.
It was fall of 2003. I ain't scared. Everyone knows how fuck. I just talked about it on my 30th birthday last year. People can't do basic math. Some people can't, but...
No. Trump is running for president. Let's leave it at that.
To be fair, a lot of people can't.
Well, a lot of people can't. No.
It ain't good. No. But it's fall 2003. I ain't mad about it. But God, that was more than 10 years now. Speaking of not being able to do math. wishful thinking. So it's been a fucking long time. That's crazy. Oh, God.
I was pregnant with CJ in 2003. So
I just can't believe it's been that long. Yeah. Anyway, I've known that motherfucker a long time.
In a year now, and all those guests that we mentioned, obviously much more than that, but do you have some standout favorite moments that come to mind?
So many.
It's so... We were talking about, if we... If we had, if we hypothetically put a show together of past guests,
right?
Let's pick four bands.
The greatest hits.
Two, I pick two.
Right, what if we each pick two, and we were both I can't narrow it down.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
The Ramona DeFlowered episode was fun.
That was fun, but
really
Old Salt Union was kind of the dude equivalent of that, which was super fun. And like
Emily,
man, I don't know. Yeah, Emily was fun. I mean,
Kevin was.
I think we're talking about those because they're most recent. Like, because they're all fun.
Well, Kevin stands out to me because it was the day after David Bowie's death.
That was crazy. Oh yeah, the Bowie Angel story.
The Bowie Angel story came out, and it was also recorded like an hour after the Rams announced that they were going back to LA. Oh. So. Yeah, well, because I walked in here with
That's
yeah, the whiskey and the beer came out, and the whole episode was.
I'm sorry, did somebody say whiskey?
Yeah, that one was. Well, and that we also had Jorge, my beatnik drummer friend
that lives in the radiator.
Yeah, Jorge is. He's
it sounds like a Bonzo drummer lives in there. I don't,
he has gone north for the. He's summering.
Yeah, no, understandable.
Already. Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah, I have the ghost of a late 1950s East Village beatnik bongo player that lives in my radiator system here.
Real
and
entertaining.
He's made some guest appearances, yeah. and he was in full force.
And that one, yeah, no, he was killing it, man.
I think he was playing Let's Dance.
Which actually seems really appropriate because Kevin does the percussion play along. So yeah. He was just trying to get the thing going and be like, I thought you said something about a percussion play along, dude.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to do
it. I'd get in on that, yeah. And Kevin's here going, can I come over and sample that? Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Come on over.
What are you, me? God, Kevin. Another person I've known for fucking ever. Yeah. Because we also went to college together. God, I don't know.
Oh, Drew Schaefer and Jesse McClary.
Drew
that one was
Jesse
hilarious.
Was super
that was so
fun.
Much fun.
I know. Drew's always fun, like, anywhere
he's sat here and just picked away at his guitar the whole
going
time.
Going to fucking Beth and Kit's house. And then I
was like, oh, God, that
Kit
was fun.
Kit made his fucking, like, random, like, did you know? And I was like, oh, that was amazing.
Beth, yeah, we were interviewing Beth Bambara. And,
that was
you know,
awesome.
Of course, she's married to Kit Hammond. And Kit and his mom were in the kitchen in the next room making Indian food to take
smelled
to his brother.
Amazing.
Yeah, so the house smells awesome. Oh. They were making Indian food to take to his brother and sister-in-law
so
who had just had a baby. And so, yeah, we're interviewing Beth and playing with her cat. And every now and then, I guess Kit could hear what we were talking about, of course. And every now and then, he'd pop in with a, did you know?
You know, there was, like, one in particular where he just, like, he'd like drop some knowledge, and I was like, "You are fucking amazing!"
And then he brought us whiskey with ginger,
and
it.
Then he brought us whiskey. It was
that, yeah, that was great.
And there was a cat,
and her name's Ma Rainey.
Ma
it was fucking great.
So that was a good one. That one stands out. Pretty much, if there's a cat involved, I'm like, that's one of my tops.
Oh yeah.
So also, Cave of Swords.
Oh God,
that
was
a really early one.
Yeah,
that was like episode 4, I think.
Yeah, it was. We were at their place. It was storming outside.
Yeah,
and Sunny. Oh, Karate Bikini.
Oh, that was fun. We went to the practice space.
Yeah,
yeah, and they played a little
so
for us.
That was so much fun. Yeah.
That was a blast. Yeah, dude, it's well,
I was just
thick
telling
one.
You.
It's like all of them.
Oh, it was when I was interviewing Kevin and Larry for 11. We were talking about band names, and it's like, oh my God, I totally forgot. But when we interviewed, when we did the podcast with Karate Bikini, Tim Mackman. Kevin came up with a name. How he'd make up fake band names
every show. Wasn't it like every show?
No, he would do it on his own. He was making up fake band names and making fake bands on MySpace.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah,
and then he'd write songs that he thought would fit these really just absurd band names.
Mm-hmm.
And Karate Bikini stuck.
Right,
that was one of his fake MySpace bands. So yeah, I love that story. That one was fun.
I sent my speaking of ridiculous bands and just making up bands until you find one that sticks. I sent the ridiculous side project songs that I've been working on to a friend of mine today, and he was like, who like does like mixing and recording, and so like someone whose like opinion I'm actually like, oh no, you can tear it to shit, like please.
Yeah.
Like you're not just gonna be my friend and be nice. Like please don't. And he was like, I think you found your calling, and I was like, oh Jesus Christ. I fucking played guitar for 20 fucking years. And I spend less than 10 hours on 4 songs in GarageBand,
yep.
And it's like, oh, I'm a fucking,
there you
I'm
go.
A fucking shitty loops pop bullshit prodigy, apparently. Get the fuck out of here. Ray, get the fuck out. So that was really obnoxious. I mean, flattering, but also obnoxious.
Your guitar playing for 20 years.
Fuck that still sucks. Your guitar playing is still mediocre, you fucking asshole. But if you just shit all over GarageBand for 5 minutes, it's fucking genius somehow. Oh, kill me. So anyway, that happened.
Yeah. Kind of trying to remember what some of the others were. I'm trying to remember what we recorded over at the ABC house.
Oh, fuck. Bill Streeter. Oh, the first one was Dana Richard Smith.
Yeah.
And Jeff Griswold. And I feel like such a dick. Thank you. I was like, I feel like such a dick because I'm forgetting.
Yeah, that was our Uncle Tupelo.
Yeah, it was because the Sunvolt anniversary.
Yeah, they were doing the Wilco anniversary show.
It was Wilco Sunvolt.
Yeah.
Joint anniversary show or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, it was for the 20th anniversary of
their first album. Yeah, it was like a fundraiser for Twinefest or something.
And Dana had his Uncle Tupelo painting series going on. At the U City Library. Yeah. So, yeah, we sat in the back of Dead Wax Records. We recorded our
first episode there. That was some fun shit sitting back there. Yeah. That was some good times.
Yeah, well, that was fun.
They were so sweet to let us do that.
I know. And that was... I was the first one there, and I'm the only one in Dead Wax. They've just left me there to wait for you and everybody. That's the picture on our Facebook page. I was one that I took that night of the wall at Dead Wax because I posted it on Facebook going, I'm in here by myself, right. And they let me.
Candy and locked into the kitchen. Be a good little girl now. Goodbye.
Don't touch anything.
Right. Don't touch anything. Anything. Last words, motherfucker.
I was very well thinking.
Get the fuck out.
But yeah, Bill Streeter was especially that was getting blast. That so early on, right before Lo-Fi. He hadn't even announced all the artists for Lo-Fi.
No, last I know. Year. He's like, I can't on the record.
That one was fun. Was like, tell me Bill's afterwards. Awesome. But, I mean, man, that's we got off to an awesome start.
I mean, yeah, totally.
You were saying how you love them all and stuff, and they're all been so much fun, and that's. Yeah. This is, I feel the exact same way. Yeah. Like, you know, it almost feels like it's like a stock line kind of thing or whatever, you know, like, oh, I had such a great time. But for real, I love doing the show. Yeah. Every time I have a wonderful time with all these people that have been
on. Oh, yeah.
And, so I fully, and so when I listen to your show, again, having a lot of crossover and knowing these people, you know, so it'd be different if it was like somebody I didn't know.
Yeah.
But the fact that they'd already been on my show or I had them on my show after yours, whatever, vice versa. But I get to hang and then I go back and listen to your interviews, and it's really interesting to me to hear, especially from a woman's perspective on the interview and stuff, because you ask totally different things or the conversations take different turns than they. So it's really. Fascinating to me, like to
see the different
types. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I don't think either of us have ever showed up with an actual question to ask.
Oh yeah, I don't. I prepare a bit just to have in case we hit a speed bump or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, most time everything's right off
just on the fly. Yeah. Well, and that's
usually one of us is familiar enough with whoever's work, if not both of us.
Yeah.
That at least one of us knows our shit enough that we'll figure something out.
Oh, yeah, because there have been plenty of times where you'll come to me with, hey, I've got so-and-so in line. It's like, well, I don't know that person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've had a few of those, too. Like, Ulta Uni actually is a great example of that. Like, it's a name I'd heard around a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And, I've never seen them. I'd never met any
they
of those
grew
dudes.
Up in my neighborhood in Belmont.
Right, of course.
So,
like, you're really familiar with them. And it's like, oh, I know that they're a band. Like, if you said Ulta Uni, I'd be like, they're a St. Louis band.
Yeah.
Because I mix them up with Old Souls Revival for a really long
time. Of course. Everybody does.
Because they're very similar names. Or I've combined the two names before. Totally
Old Souls Revival.
Yes, I've done that.
Old Souls Union.
Right. Yeah, I've done that
they
too.
They totally need to make a super group.
Super group! So anyway.
Hot Rock Bluegrass Band.
And now I know both the bands, and I don't mix them up because I can, like...
Neil was fun.
Oh, Neil was another good one. I love that
Old Soul Revival,
But I totally went in being like, I don't know anything about these dudes, like, at all. And it was so much fucking fun.
Yeah, well, the fact
so
that...
So much fun.
You know,
they're so good. They're so sweet. Aww, little babies.
Cannot wait for that one.
Well, those...
I know, that's going to be a good one.
In that particular sense, when you don't know anything, you get to asking questions out of... genuine curiosity.
Oh, yeah.
So it's easy to come up with things because you want to learn. So.
Well, and I think even with artists that I do know you and I are both similar in that, like, we're music geeks.
Yeah.
Like, we listen to stuff and we're like, you know, would be like, oh, is that about this? Or like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, talk about like, oh, like how much of your shit is autobiographical? Yeah. Or like, mm-hmm. you know, just things that you wonder when you're mm-hmm. listening to music that you're engaged with, where you're yeah. just like, you know, I wonder. It's like, you can actually fucking ask those people
yeah.
those questions. Like, you get that opportunity that every music geek,
yeah.
like, longs for. Like, I so just want to know what this song is about. Like, tell me the thing. Well, and we've totally had a couple of those. Like, one of them was, the example for me that stands out is with Beth, because she was putting out the new album, and I had been listening to it to mm-hmm. review it for 11, and the last song on the album... Well, she does, like, a reprise of a song, like, an instrumental. But the last whatever song mm-hmm. Is a super sad song. And, of course, the name is escaping me now. But it's basically, like, part of it is about, like, how her grandpa died when her dad was a kid. And so, oh, my God. And it just makes me fucking cry every time I hear it. But I was like, you know, how much of that is autobiographical? Yeah. And, like, I want to know about that song because it's a song that, like...
Yeah.
Touches me in a way yeah. that, like, music is supposed to. And so, like, you know, I got to ask about that, which yeah. is super cool, which...
Yeah. Well, I think our personalities are well-suited for this because, again, it's that being the creepy weirdo, where if you're at a show and just going up and going, hey, tell me about this song,
right.
tell me how you came to this, and this kind of sounds like this band, and do you listen to them, do you know... Now this, we have a legitimate reason to do that.
Right. Sure. It makes you seem less crazy. And also, we're generally more sober here.
Oh, yeah.
Than we most are of the time. Shows by the end of the night. I mean...
There have been a couple of occasions.
There's plenty of shows that I don't get drunk at, to be fair. But I'm no more sober. I mean, I'm sober now. So yeah. it's like, I can only be less sober.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, you've had like 3 ounces of whiskey. You sure?
Here? I've had like 4 sips, man. I'm a little...
Oh, yeah. Blue mouse.
I'm like a hamster with the little thing with the ball where they're like... That's how I drink whiskey.
I want one of those mounted to the wall with a
spray. I want one. Oh, that's a great idea! You know, actually, what's really funny, so the ABC house, as we called it, which is right next to... whatever. It's on... Yeah, it's right on Cherokee. But we were kind of using it as like an art space and a band practice space, mm-hmm. a few bands. But when we were fixing it up, you know, we're painting all the walls and shit. And Jeremy Siegelmoss, another bottoms up, another one we had on. Jeremy Siegelmoss, for some reason, they found one of those things and they mounted it on the wall. But it was like knee height.
Oh, that's no
and
good.
Then, no. And then he painted on the wall. It was like Susie Q drinking fountain. I was like, fuck you, asshole. God damn it. But also well played. That's really fucking funny. I laughed so awesome. Hard when I saw it. I was like, motherfuckers. Touché, dude. So that's...
That's where your whiskey fountain is.
I know. I was like, man, we should have filled that with whiskey. Like, I literally had one of those dedicated to me. Why did I not fill it with Jameson? Dropping the ball, you guys. Yes. Dropping yes, the you fucking are. Ball here.
You take me the drink then.
I know. Yeah, I need a drink about it. I'm so sorry. I need to take a little.
Well,
on that delightful note,
he's had enough of us.
He's like, I can't. Oh, no. You've turned into a hamster, bitch. Yeah. I can't even. Get the fuck out of here.
That's where I draw the line now. I was like,
what's the guest going whiskey hamster? Sure.
Whiskey another fantastic band name.
Whiskey hamster. That's your outlaw country.
I just want to do like my best Johnny Cash. Like, hey. That's terrible.
Whiskey hamster.
We're whiskey hamster. Like an unnecessarily low voice for a woman. Like, why are you even talking like that?
Please get on that and say not the last Waltz tribute yeah, right. show this year.
Can it just be like me and Jesse Irwin and like one other random person in a cowboy hat?
Yeah,
please.
That works.
Oh, come on, Jesse Irwin, side project, dude. See this? Another person I met in college. Actually,
oh, I've known him forever. I ran into him at a party while catering last week.
I haven't seen him in a minute.
Like, why are you here? My worlds are crossing.
Why?
Speaking of Jesse and Johnny Cash, I saw him a couple weeks back. He did a Trucker Country Night with Sean Cannon and the
Beatles. Oh, yeah. Nice. Was it one of the Wednesday nights?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
And he So he did I've Been Everywhere.
From oh, yeah. Kick ass. Oh, I bet he fucking killed
it. It was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's so rad.
I was, but I'm like, man, you know, of to do of any mm-hmm. Cash songs, especially that one.
Yeah.
Like, that one's got a ton of words, and they're all, you know, city names, so they're not even real, like, words. and he's like, I was like, man, how do you know all that? And he's like, it's just muscle memory. Like, you get...
Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, he's rattling it all off there, and it was awesome. It was...
But, you know what I just thought of when you were talking about that?
Oh, God.
You remember in the last season of Parks and Rec where Leslie and Ron are left in the office and she starts singing Billy Joel, but she's
like, oh, my God!
So we didn't start the fire. I just pictured Jesse Irwin doing that to that song. And it was really goddamn funny. Yeah, just think that for a second. It's really awesome.
Oh, God. Jesse's never going to come on the show.
I can talk him into it. Oh. We're cool.
I fed him that day. It'll be fine.
Yeah, right, exactly. We got this.
Well, let's get some of the plugs out there. We haven't done really much of that, but
sure.
Show is available on
iTunes and SoundCloud. We've got a Twitter. It's at Riding with STL. No G.
Ever.
Riding with St. Louis, STLOUIS.com. We're on Facebook. You can like us there. Instagram, also at Riding with St. Louis.
We're getting that fixed rapidly.
Yeah, whatever.
they,
I'm not really concerned about it, but that's fine.
I've heard you some of your rants or whatever about it. But they have changed to where you can.
Talked about it.
Yeah, yeah. We've hit other bumps with it since then. Yeah. So
okay,
but,
I have.
They have made it much easier to bounce back and forth between accounts.
I know. I actually said in the intro, I was like, finally, bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're having password problems with it.
So. Oh,
yeah.
Son. It's always a thing. Instagram.
I meant to bring my manuscript to edit tomorrow.
I blame Instagram.
But, yeah. Oh, it's totally Instagram's fault.
I believe
It had nothing to do with the fact that I was sitting in a bar watching a show while I was trying to
change
it up.
No. It's fine.
Somebody who was on the podcast, so I need to Instagram this. Oh, fuck, I broke it.
I broke the thing. All of the internet is broken now.
Yeah.
So that's where you can find the podcast. As far as my other shit, Suzie Q, SUZIECUE is my music. You can find that on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter at Suzie Q Music. And Instagram at Suzie Q-Z, SUZIE_CUZ. So, CUEZY. God, that's hard to spell. So much different. It's different from my name. I started to just rhyme it, and I was like, nope, that's not right. Fuck, what else do I do? Like 800 other things. I don't know. We both write for 11 magazines, yep. So find our shit in there.
I think I wrote like a quarter of the magazine for April.
Nice.
So I've got a bunch of album reviews, a bunch of show previews, awesome. And a feature about Cave States.
Killer.
That I'm happy with.
Nice. Yeah, and I do a monthly
issue.
Awesome. Yeah, that's that'll be on like a
next week
or whatever. Mm. Yeah. And I do a monthly column on all the STL local music releases in 11 called Mean Scene, which, in case you're wondering, world, is a Rum Drum Ramblers reference. It is a local music reference. But also I liked it because it rhymed. So it worked out, and it seemed appropriate.
And you'll, you made the announcement maybe a week ago or something, you're doing lo-fi this year?
I am. I'm doing lo-fi Cherokee, bitch.
Yeah.
So that'll be April 9th on Cherokee, obviously. I can't announce the venue yet.
Yeah.
That's not public information.
Well, yeah, that's exciting stuff.
Yeah, and then I do First Thursdays at Venice Cafe. I do a series called Three Bands for $3, which is exactly what it sounds like. So it's always me and two other, you know, artists or bands or whoever the fuck I book. And it's Venice Cafe, so it's fun and it's intimate and it's cozy and the drinks are cheap. And I get cool people to play usually, always actually.
Yeah.
So those are fun.
Yeah.
And then other random shows, you can check it out on my Facebook. There's always stuff going on.
Definitely.
And then Robin does a bunch of cool shit too.
Yeah. Well, I was also going to mention with the podcast, I'm not sure when the episode is going to air, but we do have a special anniversary episode coming up. Our next episode that we're posting is with Brad and Osset Sarno. And we recorded that a couple of weeks ago and had a really good time. And
love them.
I know. Well, and then afterwards, We were all joking around on Facebook about something totally unrelated, and Ossette said, "We need to hear your stories." And so on April 1st, we're recording a special episode with Brad and Ossette. They're going to be in charge of it.
So excited.
And we don't know who the special guests are, but they're booking guests. Yeah.
Huh.
So that's how we're going
to
celebrate our
anniversary. I can't wait to find out who the
special
guests are.
I know. It's...
And didn't we make a pact we're dressing up?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's a Friday, isn't it?
It's a Friday.
It's a
Friday.
It's a Friday. I think it's also a payday. It's a payday.
It is. Yes. So, yeah.
Treat yourself.
We're going to dress up. There's going to be whiskey. There's going to be... I know two bands that we've had on who have shows that night, so they won't be here.
Sons of bitches. How dare you?
Ilphonics.
How dare... Well, they haven't been on yet, technically, so...
Okay.
They weren't on the list that... Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And Manus Brothers had a show that night, so...
God fucking damn it. How dare you book things during other things that you didn't know about?
I know.
How dare you? How fucking dare you? I just turned into Irene Allen. That's what just happened.
God, I hope she's here for it.
Oh, dude.
So, yeah, we have no idea who the star knows.
She knows too much about me. Yeah. She's going to ask me some real fucked up questions.
The fact that it's the Sarnos, too, you know, these people who have, like, this international influence on the way music currently sounds, and they're doing this out of St. Louis, and they're throwing our anniversary party for us. Like, what we are, that is going to be a beautiful shit show. I have no doubt.
So, look
for that in a couple of weeks.
I'm
It'll
super
be up sometime in April.
After April 1st, obviously.
Yep.
That's when we're recording it. So,
recording
sometime
April
1st. After that, whenever.
Yeah.
And then we also have in the works, since we're at like 30-something episodes, we're planning a big old shebang. Details coming soon for around our 50th episode. We're going to have a little party.
That whole hypothetical thing that she mentioned about, okay, what if we picked four bands?
What if we did that? We,
that really wasn't hypothetical.
I'm really good at... that's the second time today I've been like, hypothetically.
That wasn't hypothetical. We really did that.
None of them were.
No. I've got exciting stuff that I actually haven't announced publicly, so I guess I'll go ahead and announce some stuff publicly.
I was gonna say, or at least plug the Subterranean page and stuff.
Oh, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, good.
Also, I wrote a book about Woody Guthrie a couple of years ago, and I'm finishing the next edit on it and headed down to Oklahoma last weekend in April, first weekend in May, which is the third anniversary of the Woody Guthrie Center, which is also the archives. So I'm going down there to hobnob with the Guthrieati again. Yeah, that's in my book.
Oh my god, I've never heard that. That's amazing.
Because you didn't know me when I was writing the book.
Oh shit, girl.
Guthrieati.
I took a class on that shit.
Yeah, I wrote a book on that shit. So, Woody is still in the works. But, like I said, I gotta pay bills. So, my little company, Subterranean Homemade Foods, has two new homes. I'm working with the Blue Pearl on Cherokee in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be there on April 22nd, Friday, for Earth Day. Gonna have live music, and I'm gonna be slinging some food, and there's gonna be lots of local, sustainable, little bit anarchist leaning, roll benders, taking care of shit. That's gonna be a lot of fun. And come down to the other end of Cherokee, about halfway down to the other end, where Black Bear Bakery used to be. My buddy Chris Lee, who is a phenomenal award-winning chef, is opening a new place called Shirley's.
Don't call me Shirley.
Exactly. That's Shirley.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big pun.
I love it.
But it's right between Ice Cream Cakes and Fortune Teller. And that is going to be the new home of Subterranean Homemade Foods.
Baller.
I haven't even told you that.
I was like, this is news to me.
We just finalized yesterday.
What?
So, yeah, I'm going to be working out of that kitchen space and have my goods for sale. We're going to do some pop-up restaurants. We're going to do helping with some menu stuff. And we're not so underground anymore.
Gone
legit.
Holy shit, guys.
But yeah, you can check out subterraneanhomemadefoods.com. And yes, that is a Bob Dylan reference. I'm glad you noticed. I've got a bunch of classes coming up. I just posted those today. I teach at Deerberg's and Kitchen Conservatory and St. Louis Community College, and do private classes too. And I'm not planning. I don't have any ridiculous underground dinners planned right now, but that's going to change before too long. We're getting to that time, and of course, anytime I do an underground, I always book bands for it too. So I like the music and food combo. So. Look, and on Facebook too, Subterranean Homemade Foods. Just Facebook, Google that shit. It comes up. So
boom.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm gonna be making some pickles soon.
Yeah.
It's pickle season.
I still like to encourage people to just like message you and be like, teach me how to make pickles, here's $10.
There was a Facebook post. Michael Allen.
Like the one that wasn't mine?
Somebody posted, I wanna learn how to make jams and jellies and pickles. That's my next project. And it's like, I can't even comment on it. It's somebody I don't know. And Michael Allen's like, Robin Wheeler can help you. All right.
I know a person. It's Robin.
Yeah. So, I'll teach you how to pickle your shit. It's okay.
That'd be a better way to say that.
Pickle your shit. That reminded me of the movie Ladies' Man. Did you ever watch that?
I remember that one, yeah.
It's been years.
Yeah. Yep.
There was a scene at the bar where... there's this guy who thinks he's hot shit or whatever, and they start getting him. He's like eating all these various things, and he goes, "This is pickled pig's feet or something like that." And they eat that, and he's like, then they pull up something else out of the bar, and he goes, he's like, "Oh man, nobody ever eats these," and he's like, or something, and the guy's like, "I'll eat it," and he. He starts eating and goes, "Man, you just ain't human shit." Or something.
It's pickled shit.
Yeah.
It's like, man. I just walked right into that.
Yeah. So did. So very did.
But yeah, that's a...
We're going to end on that note, aren't we?
Yeah, that's a good spot right there.
That's appropriate.
It actually seems, I was going to say, it seems really appropriate for us, honestly.
Robin said pickled shit and everything just stopped.
Drop the mic. What else needs to be said at that point?
Yeah. All right, well, give their show a listen. There's tons of great episodes on iTunes and RidingWithSamLewis.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, eventually. And
gotta fix that. That's our show motto. I gotta fix that.
But with your announcements, I wanted to invite you, and I haven't announced it on the podcast yet. It's been on my Facebook, but I'll be doing my second Rock Paper Podcast birthday show at Broadway Oyster Bar June 24th.
Nice.
Which is pretty exciting because I asked if I could... Well, they reached out to me. They asked me if I wanted to book some shows. I was like, well,
sweet.
I got an idea for you.
Right.
Like, how about this? So they're going to host the second annual birthday show. And two bands have been confirmed and announced with Skyburnt White and Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals.
Awesome.
They're both stoked because they've never played Oyster Bar yet. So
I was gonna say that's kind of out of Oyster Bar's wheelhouse. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
A lot of what led into this was kind of wanting to shake it up a bit,
right? Yeah.
Bring in some rock and roll, and I was like, well, I know some people, so
yeah, cool.
So anyway, that's I'm hoping to impress them and make it a regular thing.
June 24th.
June 24th. Let me see. I've got my calendar.
Awesome.
So if you're available, I would love to have you out there. It'd be fun. Awesome. But thanks so much for hanging out.
This thanks great. For coming over.
I really enjoyed this. So.
Yeah, I like
that. We apologize for everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's our motto.
Yeah.
I gotta fix that. We apologize.
And then it just goes into the Monty Python intermission music.
All right, that's it.
Oh man,
that's all right, a rip.
I gotta pee like crazy.
You think you're pretty clever?
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.